I'm George Flynn, and this is In-Depth TV. Today, I've got my guest. Our guest is Heidi Schaefer, who has the distinction of being the only female on the county commission, or Shelby County Commission. And this it will be an enlightening interview because she knows a lot about government. Heidi, how did you get into being interested in government, the first thing? And where are you from, and how did you land in Memphis? And just something about you.
Well, I grew up on a farm in Nebraska, and Nebraska's a very small state. It doesn't have a lot of folks in it. The population is not what you would consider dense. And in Nebraska, it's very common for people to be involved in politics because it's all based on small communities, and so everybody has to do their share. In the little hometown where I'm from, there were only 210 people, give or take, most of whom are my relatives, and everybody kind of had to take their turn being mayor, you know, and so it just really is in the culture there that everybody has to do their part, and that means participating in government because our government is made up of us. Yeah. And so I would say that was the basis of it, is that, you know, I just knew that everybody had to do something. I moved to Memphis. I got my first job teaching at Christ the King Lutheran School. They hired me almost sight unseen, and I moved down to Memphis almost sight unseen. Right. And loved it here. I really love West Tennessee and Tennessee and Shelby County, and it's a great place to live. Good people, like from Nebraska, you know, there's just good people here, and there's no snow to shovel. No. So,
not much.
Yeah. So I came and
you've been here.
And I've been here.
And you got involved. What spurred your involvement in getting involved in politics?
Well, the first thing I noticed was at election time when I was looking at people's their push cards, you know, their election literature, it all looked the same. I couldn't tell because I didn't know the people. I couldn't tell who the good people and the bad people were. I mean, because everybody was like for the environment and against crime and for kids, but they all looked the same. And I realized that I was going to have to get involved to know the people to determine who actually would do what they were going to say they were going to do. And the only way to do that is to start working on some people's campaigns and start figuring through it.
Right, get to know the inside of what's really going on.
It is. In Memphis, fortunately, you know, all of Tennessee is one of those communities where you can get to know people. It's not so big that everybody's anonymous. And unfortunately, very few people are actually involved in politics here. So it means that if you start to get involved, pretty soon
You know everybody,
and you see the same people everywhere.
Well, could you give us, and a lot of people are confused about it, what is the difference between the county commission and the city council? I mean, we hear about this. We hear commissioners and city council people, and a lot of people mix the two up. What is the difference in the two?
So the states are the superior governing body, and they allow us, or they farm some of their duties out to bodies underneath them. So we must have a county government by state, by the state constitution, and the county is there to govern the main things like the roads and the bridges. And then sometimes folks inside the county will form a city, a municipality, and then when they form a municipality, they will take some of those jobs over. Cities do more of things like streetlights. Here we have MLGW. They'll do streetlights and potholes in the city things, trash collection. Those kind of services are city things. The county now has the schools, and we have the county hospital, which is Regional 1, and we are in charge of overseeing most of the things that come through the state. So when the state gives us a directive, some of those go through to the cities because they've taken that job over. But anything that's not governed by a city
is governed by
the county. Yeah.
Okay.
So, and the county commission is just like the Congress. You know, the mayor's like the president, and the county commission's like the Congress, and then you've got your judicial system there. So it's the same setup.
It's the same form.
Right.
What issues, and we talk about this, what do you see, as we hear so many complaints, what do you see going right in government? What is happening that is correct and is going according to plan, and then we'll talk about what's not going according to plan. But what do you see as correct and going correctly in government now?
Well, I'm going to talk about local government
first.
Because I really think that local government is where we're going to get a harness and a handle on the mess that the bureaucrats have created up in Washington. In local government, what we're really trying to do is we're trying to work across governmental lines to make sure that we don't care whether they call the city council folks or they call the county commission folks, that if somebody calls us and they need something done, like their street lights turned on, mm-hmm. which is really a municipality thing. But if they call me for it, or if I see that there's a need for it, I go ahead and I reach out to the city council folks and they help me get it on. What we're trying not to do is what I call the Shelby County shuffle, where you say, well, I don't handle that. That's a city issue. Mm-hmm. You'll have to call them. Instead of that, we don't care what door you come through for government. We're going to take it. Mm-hmm. We're going to try to get an answer for the constituent and solve the problem and then come back instead of continually batting them around like a ping pong ball. And to me, that's what government is. Government, to me, is about solving the problems for the local community that government, you know, the roads, the bridges, the infrastructure, those kinds of things, so that people can get on with their lives to make their money, take care of their families, and pay their taxes.
Right. Well, that's exactly why I wanted to have you differentiate between the city and the county, because so many people don't know who to call. They know there's a problem, they just don't know who to call, and it's refreshing to know that the county government tries to go across, they define a problem, then they figure out a way to solve it rather than just say, it's not my problem.
Well, and I have to give kudos to the city council, too, because if I didn't have good partners over on their side of the aisle, it wouldn't do me a lot of good. But we've really got some fine people who are in it, I think, for mostly the right reasons, you know, trying to just take care of our community and get those problems solved. It's been lovely, and we're seeing that same kind of cooperation between the Shelby County Sheriff's Office and MPD. And we've also folded in Tennessee Highway Patrol, and in a few instances, Arkansas Highway Patrol, to try to make sure that we're all moving in the same direction. And I think it's that kind of layering and cooperation that has been left behind in what had become a very, very unwieldy bureaucratic system.
Now, we'll go to the other side. What is going wrong? And you don't have to keep it local. You can keep it state, federal, or what. What is wrong in government? What is the big turmoil going on? And why is that going on? We're talking about crime, taxes, education. Where do you see, and you can take them one by one, what is wrong with the whole system?
Well, I think the whole system has developed into such a big bureaucracy that the end result is that the bureaucracy just tries to take care of itself and keep itself in power. And if you look at the federal election, you'll see that you had folks on both sides of the political spectrum going for complete outsiders. Donald Trump on the Republican side and Bernie Sanders, who is, you know, a card-carrying socialist, on the other side. And I think that was a really strong statement that what we're seeing is that Washington is working with Washington to take care of Washington, but the rest of us are being left out. They're busy taking care of a few technocrats and the people who, you know, the donor class, but the regular folks are being left out. And that's why I think you saw those two very different philosophies go head to head in this past election. And what I am excited to see is regular, ordinary people trying to get in and solve problems.
But you see a lot of pushback to that.
Absolutely.
Well, why is that? I mean, why do you consider that to be going on?
Well, I think all you have to do is look at history. Recent, European, African, ancient, look at all history. And the folks in power want to keep the power for themselves.
Want to stay in power.
Yeah, and they want to stay in power. And you do develop relationships. And sometimes people develop financial relationships. And so it's that unweeding of it, then that untangling that is the problem. And they're circling the wagons. And because they don't see that there's a problem. If you go to Washington, D.C., they've never seen a recession.
Right.
I mean, they, you know, everything looks fine there in the bubble. And so what I'm glad to see, and we work really hard at a local level, is to not be ensconced in a bubble, but to really, really make sure that we're having the meetings with our constituents. And that's why we have term limits here, right?
Right.
So you can't just keep in that bubble. You've got to continually be getting new folks in and old folks out to make sure that you've that you're somewhat connected to what's going on in the community. And so, I mean, I think it's a necessary change. If you don't have that change, then you end up being in the situation like France was in the 1700s, and you foment a revolution.
A lot of people lost their heads over that.
Well, yeah, and I mean, so our system of government is set up to have a bloodless revolution every 4 years. And it doesn't mean it's not messy, but it's very necessary, because Washington is truly broken.
Well, it is, like you say, it is a nonviolent revolution that happens. Sometimes people demonstrate and things like that. But talk about the brokenness of Washington, and is there? I'm trying to grasp why it's not broken. Also in the state and in the local government, but I guess because you're more in touch with the citizens.
I think so, and I think what we're going to see is we have already seen the states start to take the 10th Amendment a little more seriously and saying, hey, wait a second, you know, there are some things that you can't do. You know, on a federal level, I think, first of all, and I love my lawyer friends, but I think we've got way too many lawyers running the country, and they like to make things arcane, and really laws should be they should be written in plain language where people can understand them, and there's not a need to make everything quite as complex as people would like for you to believe. But I think that where the federal bureaucracy is concerned is everybody gets in their little pocket, and they refuse to or can't, because of the substructure, they can't work across the aisles. And so, you know, some people think term limits are the answer. I think they are an answer, but the thing you got to understand, especially in Washington, is that you would also need to find a way to term limit the folks, the unelected folks, the folks who are making up all the bureaus,
right,
and everything else, because if they stay and the elected people are the only ones that go, the people who would end up having the power would be the unelected, unaccountable
and nothing
civil
really
servants.
Changes.
And nothing would ever change. So, you know, it's good to take a step, but we need to not just do a knee-jerk. I mean, it needs to be a full complement of changes. And I really think part of the problem that we've had is that there is, I call it the tyranny of the agency. Agencies take laws that Congress passes, and then they make all these protocols based on it and policies, but they go way beyond what the law states, but they become a de facto law, and there's no one to hold accountable for it. The EPA is notorious, and I think that we will see the EPA's overreach being ratcheted back a good bit.
Well, you're right. They do start to do things, and they do more and more, and they overreach, and then all of a sudden somebody says, why? And says, we've always done it that way. And all of a sudden it's a law that was never passed.
Well, and I'll give you a local example of this, and this is just one of many, but when a few years back on the commission, we were being given a grant for an air quality monitor,
right,
and it was a free air quality monitor, and when we looked at where they were going to place it right where we were going to do major interstate construction work. And the air quality monitor is used by the EPA to decide whether our emissions meet or exceed, you know.
Right.
And so we sent some questions up. We were like, well, we would love to have an air quality monitor. We want to have good air, but this is not representative of the county. So could we move it? And they said, oh, no, it must be here. And we said, well, no, thank you, then. We don't care for it. And they sent back an answer that was basically, oh, you misunderstand. You will have the monitor, and if you don't take our free monitor, we will put one in for you anyway, and we will charge you hundreds of thousands of dollars for it that taxpayers have to pay, and it will go where we say it's going to go. And there was nothing to do about it. And that's the kind of bureaucratic overreach. It probably sounded good in somebody's boardroom, but it doesn't make real-world sense.
Well, and what happened with that?
Oh, they put the monitor in, and sure enough, then we start finding, you know, that Shelby County's air quality was, you know, not as good as it needed to be, and they were talking about finding ways to squeeze even more noxious gases out. But it only makes sense if you're putting it in an area where cars right. are going to idle mm-hmm. all the time during construction.
The dust of construction and everything. I mean,
yeah. So, you know, those are the kinds of things that end up. I mean, it's a small thing, but it's indicative of much, much, much larger overreaches that where our it's not doing what was intended to do, but it sure gives the agency a lot of power, and they're not accountable.
And you have had some dealings with the local hospital here. Let's talk about healthcare, because that's a big cost. Mm. It's a big thing going on. What do you see is happening with that locally?
Well, so in my view, I think that the hospitals, especially our government-funded hospitals, probably need to stand in place for a little bit, continue saving people. But I think we need to find out what way the federal health care situation is going to change. People had been planning that if the ACA was going to stay in place, that then supposedly everybody would be insured, even mm-hmm. though they're not, but supposedly everybody would be insured, and then it would just be a matter of which hospital you wanted to go to. But with the unraveling of the ACA and whatever will come to take place, I think it would be wise for us to be cautious and be a little prudent about doing capital expenditures based on an old plan that I feel quite sure won't be in existence in 2 years.
Well, yes, if you build it, and then all of a sudden the whole thing shifts to another plan, well, you've wasted a lot of money.
Well, absolutely, and it's taxpayer dollars, and Dr. Flynn, you know, I think you and I agree on this, that when you're spending taxpayer dollars, you really have to have the highest justification to spend the dollars, and I spend, seriously, every dollar as carefully as I spend my own, and you know I'm very frugal.
Well, you know, that's another idea of the brokenness. People are spending other people's money, especially in the state and federal government. They don't understand. It's not their money. It's other people's money. It's taxpayers' money. They need to be a little more prudent.
Well, yes, and as I sometimes redundantly remind my fellow commissioners, taxpayer money is taken by force. If you don't pay your taxes, we will come get your house. Mm-hmm. So I think that that means that the standard for spending taxpayer money must be really high. And it's hard to meet that standard because there are so many different and opposing views in the county or in any government. But it's still a standard that we need to try to meet, and it needs to be the highest and the most honestly vetted and the most transparent, much more than a corporation would need to do where money is being given in the marketplace freely.
Right.
This isn't a free market system in government.
No, it's not. Yeah. You've got a captive audience, and you say you need some more money, you go get some more money.
And I think the real goal is that here locally, and I'm very, very, very encouraged that so many people on the city council, county commission, state government are really trying to figure out how we can fix our own problems, not look at Washington. I think we'll end up fixing Washington's problems. I think it really does speak to what most people want. They don't want to have to work for government. We're not serfs of the government. We want government to work for us.
And sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't.
Right.
Okay, we'll go to the big topic. The big, big topic that everybody's interested in, crime. What's happening locally? What's happening nationally? What are your views? How can we fix the problem? We know there's a problem. Well, talk about the problem first. Is there really a problem, or is it all a figment of the news imagination?
Oh, I think there's really a problem. I think that the 24-hour news cycle and social media makes it more apparent to all of us than it's ever been before. And it can be kind of stressful. You know, I have to take news breaks you know, where I just don't listen to it, because you can just get wrapped up in the repetitiveness and that kind of business. But crime is real, and it's a real problem for us. I don't believe that crime is just a problem that needs to be solved by government, though. And I don't even think that government can solve all the crime. I think that it really comes down to the family structure. The family structure is the most efficient manner of taking care of people in mm-hmm. your society since the beginning of time. And we unfortunately have a very, very loose family structure.
What's happened to it? I mean, in the 50s we had it, now we don't. What's happened?
I think a lot of government policy. When it becomes more financially beneficial not to have a married mom and dad or a married couple in the house who are there and stable because of what it will either cost you in government dollars or taxes. I think those are failed policies. And I think that I honestly believe that government had a huge, huge hand in that. And I think that is something that we need to unravel. We need to make it better for families to exist. And I think that's the first thing. The second thing is, I often hear that poverty breeds crime, but I look at it a little bit differently. I think crime breeds poverty. And if you look at folks where there is crime going on, poverty soon follows, you know? Right. And so I think it's in everyone's interest to work at it from the crime angle. And that means that we've got to really, really ratchet down on it. It means we need to try some things that haven't been tried before. I am not a big person for social service type things, but some of it, you know, some of it can and is working. So what I love about our system of government nationwide is that we have lots of little mini experiments going on all over the country in how living in a Democratic Republic works. And people are trying this and trying that. And when you look at where some other folks in different communities are making progress, then I think the smart thing to do is look at what they're doing and see how it can translate here. That's why I'm very interested in some of the things that have been going on up in Ohio, where they've been doing specific neighborhood mm-hmm. collectives that really, really have special task forces to combat graffiti, crime, homelessness, right. And it's
Well, and it's so smart to look at other people, because you can't live long enough to make all the mistakes yourself. You see their you know, one of their initiatives, did it work or did it not work? Did it work part way? How could it have been improved? And you come up with those things, and it's really wise to look at those things. Does everybody look at that, or are there just a few commissioners and city council people that look at it?
Well, I think that really the majority of folks on both the council and the commission want to do, you know, and we trade information fairly regularly, because we all have private sector mm-hmm. jobs as well, which I think is right. That way we have a foot right. in government world and a foot in the real world.
Right.
But it's a lot. It's a little bit like drinking out of a fire hose. So maintaining those relationships, and this is where we're back to small mm-hmm. communities, maintaining those relationships with other folks so we can trade ideas, and being open to competing ideas, and, mm-hmm. And being able to disagree and hold your ground, but do it in a way where you still maintain the relationship. I think that's something that West Tennessee particularly is really, really good at. And I would like to see West Tennessee, not just in a county way, but regionally, really come together in a stronger way, because we, I think sometimes on a state level, we kind of get, we're the last of the three grand divisions right. that get considered.
Yeah. Well, I think, and what the last part, in a wrap up few minutes, what can we do to make government better? How do we cooperate and yet not alienate our base? How do we cooperate with the Republicans cooperating with the Democrats and not alienate everyone? How do we cooperate and get something done?
Well, let me address it two ways. One, first is from regular citizens. And it is it is really, really refreshing, I think, for citizens to be able to reach out to their local elected person, mm-hmm. and you can find it online who your person is, or call any of us, call any city council person or any county commissioner, and we'll try to help you. And if we can't do it, we'll help find someone who can, right. and we won't just, most of us won't say, well, you've got the wrong number, you need to call over here. And so for local folks, if they once start communicating with their city council people or their county commissioners, I think they will see what government actually should be doing and can do for them. And a really easy way is through Nextdoor. It's a little local neighborhood app. I check it many times a day, and I see where people are reporting streetlights out, and I comment back, and many people have added me to their neighborhood so that I can mm-hmm. see, and they help each other understand if somebody suspicious is walking down their neighborhood or if they've just gotten broken into. And that kind of connectivity can really, really be helpful. On a government level, and this is somewhat harder, is I think you have to be willing to stand behind the decisions that you make and run on your record.
Yeah.
You know, and you do the best that you can, and you build the best relationships you can with the most honest people you can find, and then be able to stand on that and take that to your constituents and stand on that record.
Could you, the Nextdoor app, let's go back to that for a second. Can anyone sign up, like anybody watching this, can they sign up on a Nextdoor app, or does it cost a lot of money, or?
It's free. You have to live in that neighborhood or have, you need to be in that neighborhood, and then neighborhoods can see other neighborhoods' listings too, which is how I can see most of my district's Nextdoor pieces. And it's free. And what you have to learn there is the same kind of governmental skills that we who are in elected office have to do. It works best if people don't flame each other and don't, yeah. you know, and yeah. if you speak respectfully and you just try to work together to get the problem solved. To me, that kind of technology has been one of the biggest breakthroughs for a government that's truly run by the people. And that's what I believe in. I believe that the people run the government.
Well, this is one area where technology helps.
Yes.
You know, helps us connect. And anything that can help us connect and have you understand what people really need, and the people will understand where you can do things and where you can't. I think that's brilliant.
Well, and it's just been really effective. I've got people reaching out to me from other neighborhoods, people way outside my district, and I don't mind, because if we can get the answer for them,
right.
that builds trust in your local government. And it may make, I've had some people say, well, I would like to run for government sometime. And I encourage them to do it, because the more regular people you have run for government, right. I think the better.
Well, and the people that have had other experience rather than just government experience and have had other life experience, we want you in. We want you in there. Isn't that?
We need you in there.
Right. I think that's a better way of putting it. What would you do to summarize in 30 seconds? What would you say to someone that really was interested in what was going on in government?
I would say at least come down to either a city council or a county commission meeting one time. You'll have to take an afternoon off, and you might need a Coca-Cola or something to keep you awake for part of it. But see how your local government works, because the dollars that pass through your local government and the decisions that affect people's daily lives is really kind of mind-blowing at times. And then once you see it and you see that these are real people who live mm-hmm. in real neighborhoods, it takes the fear factor out of it and the right. awe factor out of it. And you can pull most of us aside before or after a meeting and chat with us and tell right. us what you would like to see us do. And that, to me, is just vitally important.
Thank you very much, Heidi Schaefer, my guest. She's a county commissioner in Shelby County. I'm George Flynn. You've been watching InDepth TV. Thank you for watching. We'll see you next time.